And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday afternoon, 106 in the afternoon. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Alongside with me is our wonderful, talented ag director, tired ag director today, Bridget Riedel. She's been up since 3 in the morning.
Well, I pulled a little double duty this morning to help Bonnie Amistadi out.
Man, good for you.
All right. You're here every day by 6.
Yeah, but that's a big difference from...
But you don't get up at like 5:40.
No, I live right down the road.
That's what I thought.
I don't have to.
Sleep in your pajamas, show up for work.
Pretty much.
Got it. Okay.
Pretty much. Well, I'll tell you what. We've got a pretty quiet day out there. Weather is cooperating. If you haven't gotten out to vote yet, make sure you get out there and vote. You can't blame the weather today. Weather is looking pretty good, although we've got a small sliver of clear skies over the FM area. We got clouds to the east. We got clouds to the west. And just a little thin line of clearing over the FM area. And we'll see more clouds and sun for the rest of the afternoon. We're 40 degrees right now. Most everybody, right around that 40 degree mark. And we're not going to move a whole lot, low to mid 40s today with light winds and then more clouds in the forecast for tomorrow. So,
but it's going to get nicer by Sunday. See, that's what I've got.
By Friday.
That's my goal in front of me, is getting through the next couple days until we get to the weekend.
Yeah, we've got some pretty decent weather. In fact, Friday be good hooky day. There's still a couple of golf courses open around here. So Friday, book
your
tee
time. You're already playing hooky on
Friday. I am already playing hooky on Friday, but I won't be having fun. I'll be traveling. So that sounds fun. It depends where you're traveling to. So.
You told me your logistical details, and I did ask you if you looked at a map recently.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, that's a lot further than we had anticipated. Oh, well.
Yes, yeah, yes, because Watford City by way of Rapid City is not super close.
It's not, no.
Just a heads up.
I'll be in the passenger seat snoozing, I hope. Oh, man. So, it's going to be a quiet week. We need the moisture. We've seen... we see more moisture in the last week than we have over the last month and a half. If that's hard to comprehend, but
not really. And good that we are.
Yeah,
let's pick it all up while we can.
It is, and it looks like we're starting to hopefully turn the corner into a slightly stormier cycle as we head into next week. There's a couple storms that may be heading our way next week.
Wait, let me get my calendar out of my travel.
You're probably traveling somewhere, right?
Tell me the days again.
somewhere between Tuesday and Thursday of next week. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. There's a lot of question marks in our area. Wow. We need the moisture, though.
We do. We will take that. And if we can take it in the form of rain, rock on.
Yeah. Now, the problem is the western part of the state, the western third, they are still in severe drought conditions. And I don't see that changing.
I don't either.
When we have our LRC winter weather outlook on the 27th of this month, we'll be talking with Gary about that, because droughts usually are expanding or contracting. And the drought conditions I have in the central plains are now contracting, but the drought conditions out in the western part of the state continue to expand. And unfortunately, just don't see a whole lot of change, like I said, over the next week or two with any appreciable precip out there.
If you would recall, you have said before how, if we look at this on average, we're dry. But I blow your average to smithereens on only a 30-year deal. If you go back into the 80s, this isn't so far-fetched.
But we're about 3.5 inches below normal.
Define normal. Give me that on a year's basis.
Well, I don't work with anybody that I would consider normal, so I'm not even going to try and define weather as normal. So.
I just look at this as this is probably not as far off as we might think, especially if we talk to folks who were farming 40 years ago.
Oh. Really?
Really. 40.
Okay.
45.
50. You want to go back to the 30s? Not quite.
Not quite. Yeah,
not the Dust Bowl years.
As a kid in the 80s, I will tell you that you counted every puddle. You really waited for any type of moisture whenever possible.
So, like I said, hopefully we can change that a little bit. And the next 3 weeks, just mark this down, the next 3 weeks are going to be crucial as we cycle further into the LRC. The first cycle, first half has been dry. If the second half is dry as well, I think we're in trouble come winter and spring. I don't think that's going to be the case. I do think that's going to change here. So that's good news there. Also, some good news. I was reading an article today. You remember the whole thing? I think it started in the late 80s, early 90s, about the ozone layer and how that's expanding over the South Pole.
My Aquanet and I put a hole in it back way.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, and when I had long hair, I did too. I don't have to worry about that now, though.
And need some photographic proof.
Oh, you haven't seen that, have you?
I'm good.
Yeah. I had permed hair. I had a permed mullet. You have not. Oh, I've got to show you those pictures. Hey, it was quite the sight.
I'm sorry, Pearson left.
It was quite the sight. Yeah, but the good news is the ozone layer is shrinking rapidly, and by 2066, if we're still around, it's expected to be totally healed.
Yay.
Yeah.
We got something right.
So, yeah, right.
So you don't have to keep blaming methane on the cows.
And again, a lot of this is cyclical. But
of course it is.
We have to have a reason to throw fear.
Before that, it was acid rain.
Yeah, right.
We've had something for everything. Yeah. But remember, we talked about this just yesterday. When you hear folks mention that methane lasts so much longer in the atmosphere, methane is coming from the cows, we have to reduce our methane emissions and our overall greenhouse gas emissions from the farm. Food waste is of greater concern for methane emissions than we are actually seeing off of livestock.
You were telling me that earlier. Explain that.
So, okay, if I go back and I look, I've got the statistics here. Let me grab them. There's an estimated 2.5 metric tons of methane gas associated with food waste. So when you start looking at what's being released into the atmosphere, et cetera, you are actually looking to see about 24% of landfill material is responsible for 58% of methane emissions.
How much?
24% of what's in the landfill is responsible for 58% of landfill methane emissions.
Wow.
So for those of you not cleaning out the refrigerator at the office and throwing away your food, you're contributing to the problem.
Or, you know, you could put the guilt trip on the kids and say, clean off your plate, like we used to get yelled at. So if you clean off your plate, you're not, you know.
Look, I cleaned off my plate this morning when we had a guest bring in Klub, and I'm not going to eat for 3 days.
That was so good.
I'm good.
That, and we've got snickerdoodle pumpkin bread out there. And
yeah, so when you disappear partway through the show, it's because you went to get a snack.
Yeah, if there's any left.
There might be.
I've had enough.
Well, and speaking of pumpkins, our friend and previous guest, Travis Geiger, has won another pumpkin championship.
Oh, did he
way
win again?
Off. He did. Would you like to guess on his back-to-back moment of growing major pumpkins, would you like to guess what this year's weighed in at?
Well, what was last year's?
Big. It was over 2,300 pounds.
Was it?
Yep. This one's up.
I'm going to guess 2425.
2471.
Oh, wow.
And he earned first place with prize winnings of over $22,000. So if you're going to look at how many pumpkin breads can be made from this, first of all, it's not the right pumpkin to make pumpkin bread, but nonetheless, that's a big old pumpkin.
What's his biggest?
This would be it? And this is a world championship.
So this is the world's biggest?
This is the biggest one. It is the heaviest pumpkin. It's gigantic.
Wow.
Yes.
And how long did it take him to grow that?
The whole season. He's in Anoka, Minnesota, so he just followed it through the growing season.
Does he use Miracle-Gro?
No. Remember, he buys very specific seeds. This is not like your jack-o'-lantern.
He's buying those
designed especially for the genetics that are especially for this. But he had grown a bigger pumpkin in 2022 when he had one that was 2,560 pounds.
Wow.
That's a pumpkin.
Man. He's got obviously his own personal garden that he's growing this in.
He's probably just doing it in his backyard, wow. Leave enough room for vines.
Jeez. Good for him.
And you got to start a couple of them because you just don't know which ones are going to survive.
Now, what's he doing with this now that he's
winning
won?
$22,000.
No, I know, but what's he do with the pumpkin afterwards?
I don't know where the pumpkin goes after that, but frankly, there could be a herd of goats in Southern California that are very happy to see that truck arrive.
I think so. No doubt.
That they'd be thrilled. If you wanted to put some chocolate on that pumpkin bread, Hershey's says they have a latest agreement and some investments that's being made to help in areas where cocoa is grown most commonly, such as the Ivory Coast and Ghana. What they're doing is investing $500 million in what they're calling Cocoa for Good. They're focusing on improving poverty conditions, poor nutrition, at-risk youth, and the vulnerable ecosystems of those areas. They really want to help be a sustainable partner. Hershey has a long-standing company history of doing good things in their community right from the time that they own their own cows and were using that milk for making their own chocolates. And the cocoa prices that we know today have doubled since the start of this year. So Halloween was more expensive than you anticipated, but Hershey wants to make sure that they can bring down those prices while still making investments in areas that are growing most of the cocoa for the world.
Perfect.
And there's plenty of chocolate lovers who would not be disappointed in that.
No doubt. So I heard we're going to be playing a game. We're going to be playing on our next segment is Cow Monopoly?
Yeah, kind of. So we have guests with us today. We have Madison. And Madison, let me see if I get this right. Carvana?
Carvana.
Okay, so we have Madison joining us, and also we have Christine Wood. And they're both with South Dakota State University, and we're going to talk about the Adopt-A-Cow program. And it's not like you're just going to bring one home like you did a rescue puppy and keep it in the yard. But I think for those who teach, if you are a 4-H leader, this is probably right up your alley. Whether you're teaching high school ag, especially elementary school students, this is a way to really talk about food production. Where, you know, what happens with those cows, how they become a burger. And you and I have had this discussion before that it's important for all of us to understand what goes into agriculture these days, and animal agriculture is a big part of that. So we're going to talk with those ladies when we come back. Don't go anywhere. And if you have questions, you can certainly reach us on the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. There's a party. Here's Bridget in her blender. Glad she could make it. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And today, we're playing games. And not just those
blenders. We're always playing games.
Not just that blender game Dean was trying to play off earlier. We have in studio with us today a couple of ladies from South Dakota State University's Extension Service. We have Christine joining us, and we have Madison. And I asked them to join us because I saw some highlights about an Adopt-A-Cow program. And I figure, as a teacher at heart, who doesn't want to know about a cow right there in their classroom? So who wants to start kind of the overview and how what we're going to talk about today?
Okay, well, our Adopt-A-Cow program actually started as a partnership with one of the dairies in South Dakota. And one of the dairies had reached out to a county office and said, hey, we really want to do this program to educate youth on dairy production and what that looks like. And as that program progressed, we had a lot of people asking, well, what about beef? And so, you know, we're like, well, what can we do about beef? In addition to that, we have a program that's working on beef to school. And so we have been working really, really hard to create content for third, fourth, and fifth grade related to beef production, where our dairy production piece is for kindergarten, first, and second grade.
Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I would imagine that kids are very excited to see these concepts when they get the opportunity to do them in the classroom.
Yeah, so there's been lots and lots of excitement about both programs. And the programs follow a real South Dakota cow and calf pair throughout the entire school year.
Okay, so I have a question in regards to that first, right off the bat. Do the cows fill out an application? How do you decide? Is this a cow in a pasture somewhere? Are they on site at SDSU? Where do you get your cows?
So typically what we've been doing in the past, for this first cycle that we did, we actually found a producer down in southeastern South Dakota that was gracious enough to let us come in and film their operation. So I teach at a school in a third grade classroom to old Coleman and Egan, my third graders there that I go in and see them. They are definitely bummed every time I visit and I don't bring them with me, but the videos get them close enough. So we partner with producers to highlight their operations and really bring light to our South Dakota producers and area producers that are raising high quality beef within our state and the surrounding areas.
And what grades are you two bringing this program to? How old are the kids?
Well, ideally the curriculum is set to the third, fourth, and fifth grade education mm-hmm. standards for the state of South Dakota.
Okay.
However, we have it being taught through K-12. Okay. We have some after-school programs that taught it through for K-5 this summer, and we have some high school ag teachers that are using it this school year. I had one teacher that told me he's pulling the game from the curriculum to teach ag econ, and we teach genetics with Punnett squares and things like that. And so there's some really cool activities that can get pulled out of the curriculum to be used for older youth as well.
But really builds into STEM.
Yes.
One of the things that we want to see most often used in our classrooms.
Huh.
Yep.
Now, what's the craziest? I mean, kids have the craziest questions. What's the craziest question that the kids have presented to you two?
Honestly, for me, it's just been questions regarding things that I wouldn't expect a third grader to ask me. There's been questions that my third graders that didn't grow up on a farm that are asking me that I wouldn't have even expected from me and my siblings who grew up on a farm our whole life. So one of them for sure was asking me about our cow-calf pair of right off the bat before they've even met him, what breed they were. And they were listing off cattle breeds to me. And I was kind of standing shell-shocked because it was the first time I had seen this class. And I was like, there is no way that you should like be they're listing off all these one-off breeds that I hardly even know. And I was just amazed with the fact of our kids are listening to a lot of things that maybe we don't necessarily know. And they draw on those experiences when we bring things like this into the classroom.
Any surprises, Christine?
I guess one of the biggest things I have seen, especially working in the Sioux Falls area, is just how far removed our kids really are from agriculture.
Oh, yeah.
And the lack of understanding that that hamburger on your plate was the cow in the pasture behind your house.
Absolutely.
And being able to draw those connections. You know, I grew up on a cattle production facility. My kids are not raised that way. And so I can kind of see that distance happening there. But to see how far removed those kids are, it's really eye-opening on the need for something like this for our kids, even in South Dakota, where we are an ag state.
Absolutely. And when we are here, too, I like the idea that this is translatable across so many different places, and it doesn't really matter what state you're in, et cetera. But it's not just what you've got here on the table in front of us, the games, the curriculum, but it's literally the videos of the cows. Of kids being able to see that animal. And that is huge.
Yeah, when we were making the curriculum, we really wanted it to be as hands-on as we could create it and as much real-life tactile relation that they could get. Like Christine said, our kids are getting further and further removed just by the nature of where the world is going. And we really wanted to bring that real-life experience and have them build those connections so that they feel that attachment to that animal, even if they maybe never see them.
Now, do you have producers calling and saying, I'd like to highlight my cow? She'd do real well for this? Or would this tie in that if a local farmer said, I would just bring students out to my class or bring that class out to my farm? Could that be a tie in as well?
We haven't had that yet, but we would love to see that.
Oh, and today's your dream. Day, people.
Yes.
It is my dream that we will get one of those phone calls.
And if we have producers that are interested in this, you know, we would love to pair them with a school that's either doing it or if they're even interested in teaching it. I'm sure there's probably a school out there that would love to have them come in for an hour a week or an hour a month to help go through the curriculum.
I'll be honest, I would love to teach this. I've done Ag in the Classroom settings before for fourth graders, and this looks fantastic. So for those of you who are listening and say, I want to teach, I want to volunteer my cow, again, 701-293-9000, the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line. We'd be happy to sign you up today. So some of the things that you have here for us, and are for those watching on the live stream, you can see books and feed samples and literally a board game. So do you want to explain some of those things? Because we have a game to play.
Yeah.
Dean, you get dice. It's going to be just like the casino.
It's a craps table. All right.
Oh, so I might just start by kind of walking through what some of the lessons are. We don't have anything in front of you to show you what lesson one is, but we really tried to make sure that we were matching our curriculum to the standards. And within South Dakota, one of the things that they're taught in fifth grade is South Dakota history.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to talk about beef as how it relates to South Dakota history. And so we take the kids back to Dakota Territory. And when beef first comes to the area, we talk about the gold rush, we talk about bonanza ranching, we talk about open range, all of those things. They get to learn about branding and create their own branding irons. We have some virtual escape rooms. And so those are some of the things that we tie into that first lesson to bring history into agriculture. And then from there, Madison, you want to talk about lesson one or lesson two?
Yeah, lesson two goes further into the actual animals themselves, and we really start to have the kids get involved in genetics, which teaching genetics to third and fifth graders is a much larger feat than that sounds in making this lesson.
I didn't think it was that easy when I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, the Punnett squares definitely weren't my friend in my science class and definitely did not impact my grades in a positive way when I was learning Punnett squares. But we wanted the kids to be able to go through a genetics lesson with a simple look at it, and we've turned it into a dice game. So then they start to learn that it's up to chance whether their calf gets instructions to have a white marking, white face, anything like that. So we get anything like that with our dice game, makes it super easy for those kids to learn those genetics. We walk them through that. And this is also the first lesson that they get to watch, that first video with their cow-calf. So they learn that these calves get tendencies from their parents or their what they look like from their parents. And then they get to see their newborn calf and really bring it all together.
So I will be with you at the South Dakota Cattlemen's Association convention in December. Please tell me that this will be set up somewhere and we can play this.
I will bring it with me because I think we can make this into a really good activity of seeing who is the best at moo management.
I do agree with that. I think that would be fantastic. The hope is that we do it prior to happy hour, but then it just gets even better after.
Put some money down on it after everybody has a couple.
Lord, all you're going to do is have, you know, the various breeds betting on each other. Oh, I like where this is going. And you're going to like it too. So it is 1:30, bottom of the hour. Let's catch up with a little bit of news. And when we return, we want to continue to look at what are the lessons, but also really want to start looking at, Dean and I have a worksheet in front of us. Like, we're actually going to have to think about this.
Got so, actually worked out today? What the heck?
We're going to do that when we come back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Theme day. Oh, that's perfect. The Fisher-Price barn door just for today. All right. Because we have with us Madison and Christine, and they're here from South Dakota State Extension. We're talking specifically about the Adopt-A-Cow program and the curriculum that we can be using not only in classrooms, but in elementary schools, high schools, 4-H, if you're homeschooling, all of those types of places. And I'd kind of like to get into the game before we talk about the rest of the lessons. Can we start that?
Yeah.
All right. So Dean and I are ready. We get giant dice.
Yeah.
Who gets which ones?
You each get one. We brought the big colorful dice for you so that everybody can see what's going on.
We can't lose sight of these. These are like the biggest dice.
You got to watch us on live stream for this. This is worth the entertainment just for that.
So where do we start? We have to roll the dice to get what?
So the worksheet that you guys have in front of you is from our lesson 2 where we're learning genetics. So essentially at the top of your page, there is a bull and a cow there. So on your sheet, you guys have a horned Hereford bull and then also an Angus Hereford cross white face cow up there. So the first thing that we'll roll on this first page is whether your calf is going to have white markings on it. So as we all know, we get two sets of instructions, one from each of our parents for what we look like, whether that's eye color, hair color, all of those things. So what we're going to do is you're going to roll your dice to decide which set of instructions that you get from the bull here, which once you roll, we'll go through what your options are.
I got 4, so that would be even.
Yep, and I got a 2, so I also get the even. Which, by the way, you have a Hereford bull on here, and the joke amongst cattle breeders is always, well, how do you know grandpa's still on the farm? They still have Herefords. Which I slightly hurt at that because my grandpa raised polled Herefords.
Well, my daughter's favorite breed is also the Hereford.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Rare Breed.
Yes.
But that is, okay. Every Hereford's a vindicator.
That's exactly right. Okay, so next.
Yeah, so you guys rolled an even, which in this case, the set of instructions that you got from the bull was that you got his dominant trait of having a white face and that white dewlap there. So we'll keep that in mind as we move on. So you'll do the same thing to see what you get from the cow.
I got 3.
I got a 3. What are these dice fixed?
Wow.
Okay.
These are the ones I've been using at the casino.
Okay. So I had a 4 from the bull. I have a 3 from the cow. So that means I get a total of 7 markings.
So on here, what you'll do is if you had that odd number, you essentially got a capital F, which indicates that white face and dewlap marking. Mm-hmm. And then since you both got the odd on the second one, which was convenient that you both had the same for the same, which that odd one, you also got another capital F, which is that white face and dewlap. So if we go down to our calf's inherited trait, we have 2 capital F's, or as I like to teach them to my kids, they're 2 bossy F's. So they like to tell the other one what to do, which means that your calf will have white markings when we, in this example. So what we're essentially teaching them is, we're not expecting them to fill out a Punnett square, but they're following the same mantra. They're going through the same steps of deciding which instructions they get from which parent. And then they still get to see that these traits are up to chance.
Now, you told us before we started as well that you had to change the dice for a different age group. Explain those dice, and does that go with this particular lesson?
Yeah, so actually for this lesson, we have 4 versions of it that are written. there's this very, very basic version that just walks through rolling the dice, whether it's odd or even. And this is what we use for our really young kids or our kids that have never been introduced to genetics or Punnett squares before.
Sure.
But then we have another version where we have Punnett squares that we have the bulls traits and the cow traits filled out for the students. And then they roll the dice and use the Punnett squares and figure out the genetics based on that. The most advanced version, they have a blank sheet. And they are given a bull book and a cow book. And they have to pick which bull and which cow they're going to breed. And then they go through the process of filling out the Punnett square and rolling the dice. However, I used this at State Fair this last year. And a lot of our audience at State Fair is little people.
Yes.
And so going through this with a preschooler is less than ideal. So we created a dice that was just color. So depending on what rolled, they would pick that color.
Sure.
So Madison's mm-hmm. holding that up there. So it would be red, black, white, brown.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's one that shows the markings. Yeah. So if they roll it, it tells them the different types of faces,
sure.
Whether they're spotted, that type of thing. And then there's one for the type of horns or no horns. Mm-hmm. And so for our little people, that's what they do for this activity.
Actually, when you said bull book and cow book, I saw the look on Dean's face. And so essentially it's match.com. Does that help? Match.com for your livestock. Oh, look, she's pretty. I'll pick her out. She seems good.
And to simplify it, we only use black, red, and Hereford for this activity.
Sure.
Because once you get into white genetics, it's a lot trickier to teach. And so we're like,
and
we'll
really,
just...
who can spell Charlay?
True.
Okay, I don't think I've ever seen all white.
You've
before.
Never seen a Charlay?
No.
Oh, that's possible.
Are they pretty rare, I'm guessing?
Mm-mm.
No?
Charlay?
I wouldn't say they're rare, but they're definitely a lot of the times used in crosses more now. There's not as many purebred operations out there, but they're still out there. Every once in a while, you'll find them.
Up here, I also think about is a lighter color animal. Semitol mm-hmm. would
yes.
be another breed. Yep. Kianias are usually a lighter color, if I'm not mistaken.
The other thing that's really nice about this lesson is we actually created breed posters. So we talked to all the breed associations and have created pictures or posters with pictures of all the breeds and the different colors they come in. So in the Simmentals, we do highlight that they come in both black and more of those blonde yellow shades. So the kids can really start to dive further into those. We give them basic characteristics, what they finish out for weight, what are some marked traits of like carcass quality or maternal instincts or anything like that. So we really wanted all of the kids to be able to learn about all the different breeds so that they can learn where all these different traits come from and why certain people might pick different ones.
I'm sure all the breed associations sent you their ugliest looking animal too, right? It's not like they're just, the beauty pageants of beef.
There are some pretty picturesque pictures in there. I was impressed.
I would bet.
There was a couple of them that they had some pretty good ones out in range, and they were super pretty photos, and we tried to get ones that there's a cow on there, a bull on there, as well as a calf, so they can see them in all stages of life moving through those posters. So we really tried to make it all over the place and represent each breed the way that so if they went on a Miss America pageant that they could that they had a fair standing.
I'd love to sit in on one of these classes. I'd probably be more excited than the kids.
I'm planning on rolling my dice over here to find out what I'm going to get out of a Black Angus or an Angus Hereford cross. So I'm back to rolling. Sorry if that was loud to all of you listening. But there, I got a one, so I'm getting a dominant color black, and now I got a two. And so I got a red. So now if I look, I get a big B and I get a little B. And so the chances are my calf will be black. Okay.
Yeah. So through this on these worksheets that we have, all of our materials can be downloaded from our website for any educator or anyone that wants to take these lessons down. You don't have to be in a school to teach them. You don't have to be involved in a club or anything. If it's just something you want to do at home, maybe on a night that you don't have any power, the power goes out in a winter storm.
Shocking.
You've got some dice and you can play this game. But we went through and actually created about 6 or 7 pairs for each version. So there's versions where there's a red cow, a black bull,
sure.
red bull, black cow, reds and reds, kind of all over the place so that they can go through all the different combinations.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the board game that's laying in front of us is part of a kit. So can we talk about the board game too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the board game is an extra for our calf health lesson. So in addition to teaching the genetics and all that, we teach them how ranchers take care of their calves.
Sure.
And part of that is talking about vaccinations. And we have them do, they watch a vet video. Local vet came in and did a calf vet check. And then the board game is an extra for that lesson where the kids get to go through 2 years of being a cattle producer. So they go through two calving seasons and two weaning seasons. They get to sell their calves. They get to buy calves. They get to choose whether their calves are vaccinated or unvaccinated. There's scenario cards. So depending on what they chose, they might, you know, lose a certain percentage of their cattle. Do you want to read a scenario, Madison?
Yeah, I just picked them up. And when we were making this, I had quite a fun time of, you know, playing devil's advocate. And
what's
being
the worst thing that could happen today?
This one is a good one, though. This is, if I got this card, I'd be pretty happy. It says, the local Cattle Producers Association has given you an award for building a culture of biosecurity on your farm. Collect $100 from the teacher. So then we printed off fake Monopoly money that they can use to run their operations. And there's all sorts of them. And when we were making this lesson, we really wanted to talk about the importance of disease prevention and vaccinations and antibiotic use in our livestock, as it's become a really hot topic for outsiders looking in. We wanted the kids to be educated into why we're using these. So several of these cards talk about a disease outbreak in your herd. And they roll the dice to determine what happens. So some of them, if they have vaccinated and unvaccinated animals in their herd, they have different consequences than those who all of their herd is vaccinated.
Doesn't that sound like real life?
Yeah. So we really tried to make it as real life as we could for them and really allow them to make those decisions themselves and work through it. Because some groups, they will have unvaccinated animals and nothing bad happens. And then other groups, the exact opposite happens. Mm-hmm. So we wanted them to be able to go through and make those choices and really kind of dive into why we use these management tools in our herds.
And there's a lot of them. Things that happen on an everyday basis. I hope there's a card in there that says cow with head stuck in a gate where it's not supposed to be.
I don't know if that's there, but there's some coyotes and some derechos.
Oh, yes.
Some things like that.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even the weather got involved. Deanna, derecho hit the cows.
What do they do? I mean, they've got some shelter, but if you get a derecho moving through, is that enough to lose some herd out of?
Yeah, so when the derecho came through this last year and really hit this area really hard in the Dakotas, there was some cattle who the wind itself isn't what hurts them, it's the debris flying. So if they didn't have anything to hide behind, or an example of Brookings at the cow-calf unit, we had full-size cow or calf shelters being thrown around like cotton balls. So if they kind of get in the wrong end of that, so it's not necessarily the wind. It's just making sure that they have somewhere to go that they can kind of get away from those things.
I've got a really dumb question. Well, I always said there's no dumb questions.
Yeah, there is no dumb questions.
It's just dumb people asking questions. So a lot of animals can sense when something is coming weather-wise. Is it same with livestock?
Yeah, typically if you see cows, if you know that weather's coming and you see them kind of running towards a corner and away from what's happening, you can almost guarantee there's a storm coming.
Like how far in advance?
It kind of depends on how in tune they are, I guess. It depends if they're range cattle versus dry lot ones.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll give you like a 5-minute heads up. Other times it's a couple hours. They start rotating around the pasture and come into a different spot.
I was hoping for like a couple days, so then there's a new forecasting model that we can use. That's what I was really hoping for, but okay.
Dean's Angus methodology.
See, there you go.
The Angus report on the weather. Well, we'll try that one. So, as we wrap up, ladies, there's so much here. Where should folks go so that they can get more information? And you have a webinar. I mean, there's a lot for people to know. What do they need?
So if they go to the SDSU Extension website and they can search for Adopt a Cow, there's a page that'll come up that has all of our dairy content and all of our beef content. And they can request a download there. And once they do that, they'll be able to access all of the content. The board game, even though we have everything printed here, they can print all of that online.
Oh.
So they do not have to have any of the materials. Everything is there for them to print. Even the 3D printed objects that are in front of you, we have the files there that they can 3D print their own stuff if they have access to a printer. And then some of the other stuff that's there, like the stuff for the cow stomach that we use as examples, there's URLs so they can click where to buy some of that stuff.
Sure, some of the things. Because I see the big mitt with it looks like a mop head. But that's got to be to represent the phalange inside of a stomach, right?
Yeah. So cattle have a really unique stomach in and of itself. And this is one thing that the kids get super excited about when we bring it up, is that their cow stomach is way more complex than ours. It has the four compartments, and within the four compartments, they all have a different texture. So in that tactile learning, we wanted to find or give them household materials that mimic those textures. So we put through and went and found Amazon links or online shopping links where you can purchase these items, or there's pictures of them. So if you have something that looks like it in your house, you can just go grab it and show your kids. So in the lesson, we tried to make it where if you find it, you can find all the resources to teach it kind of wherever you are in that aspect.
So ladies, I just have to say thank you, because you've done a fabulous job of explaining so much of what's going on in this program, how you're using it. We talked a little bit beforehand about whether or not Dean and I adopt cow next year for our Here We Grow project.
That idea.
I'm in it to do videos. Dean's in it for the steaks at the end.
Yes.
You never know where this will go. But thank you for taking the time, especially bringing all these things up for us to see. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And if anybody listening has any questions, they can definitely reach out to Christine and I to answer those, or if they're interested in, like you said, a selfless plug of being on videos with us and sharing your operation and sharing what you're doing to raise high quality beef within the Dakotas, we'd happily talk with you. And then we can probably even organize something where you guys could follow us around to adopt a critter.
We'd have a ball. Our poor camera guy, Michael, might have a stroke if I tell him we're going in a barn versus just in a cornfield, but I'll ease him into that.
We'll get him nose plugs. Don't worry about it.
It's not that bad. I was in a barn yesterday. All right. So
I know, I could still tell.
Very funny. All right, folks, we're going to be right back so we can finish up with headlines and weather.
Hey, welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus, 1:55 in the afternoon, and
Screaming Goat by special request here in the studio.
See, we need a cow on here. I mean, we just
look. If a cow screams like that, it's a bad day. That's distress. It's terrible things. I like the door. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
You want to finish up here? I'm going to keep coloring my cow picture that I just got.
Let's run down and recap of the weather. We got a few breaks in the clouds over the FM area, but mostly cloudy skies still prevalent throughout the area, with temperatures now in the lower 40s, a few mid-40s out in Lakes Country and on the central part of the state. Most everybody in the 40s, even a few 30s still mixed in from about Langdon to just east of Jamestown. So some chilly weather. Feels more like November should out there, and we're going to top out about where we're at right now, maybe a degree or two warmer, low to mid 40s with light winds. Clouds, they hang tight tonight, down into the low 30s. Tomorrow, carbon copy, low to mid 40s, mainly cloudy, light winds, but the sun finally comes back out Thursday and Friday with highs in the upper 40s on Thursday. It'll be a little breezy, about 10 to 20 out of the west-southwest. And then Friday, lighter winds. Friday, the pick day of the week, no doubt about it. Low to mid-50s on Friday. Clouds come in with a area of low pressure that'll ride in from the southern plains into the northern plains. And that'll give us a little light rain on Saturday. Looks like an afternoon overnight event, so the morning should be dry. With temperatures in the low 50s, we'll stay around 50 on Sunday, mainly dry. And then keeping an eye on potential of something coming our way sometime Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday of next week. One of our models had quite a bit of snow, but it was just one. The other ones were all over the place with a little bit of light rain here, a little bit of light rain there. But
all last winter when you said there's quite a bit of snow, then South Dakota got it.
They usually did, yeah.
Sorry, right? Ladies.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week, we'll be keeping an eye on potential. We're seeing signs of a possible pattern change after mid-month where we are going to start pulling down colder air from Canada. So we need the precip. So it doesn't matter if it's rain or snow. I mean, it'd be nice to get a nice rain event in here before we lay a nice snowpack on top of it. But either way, we'll take whatever we can get at this point.
Yeah, we pretty much have to figure that out. As you think about snow, the winter, what's coming at us, you think closely about Christmas trees. I've already seen some appearing at a certain places around town.
In the stores, yep.
Yeah, the pumpkins couldn't leave fast enough to bring a Christmas tree out, I guess. And there is a way to tour a Christmas tree farm if you want to do that virtually. You can do one in Michigan or one in Oregon. Now, this is, again, really helpful for teachers, homeschoolers, and just parents in general. But if anybody wants to watch how the trees grow from seedlings to maturity, how long it takes before that tree is ready to be harvested, what that process looks like, and you have to sometimes shape your Christmas trees. And how do they do that? So those tours are coming up here in November. Again, they are virtual tours. If you are interested, you can email me, ag@flagfamily.com, and I will send you the link to go on a virtual Christmas tree tour. I don't think they let you hang virtual ornaments. You just get to look.
Do you do a real Christmas tree or do you do artificial?
Because I'm opposed to picking up all those godforsaken needles, it is a fake tree. Thank you very much. Sorry.
Well, that'll do it for Weather and Ag and Focus for Bridget and myself. I want to thank you all for joining us. Don't go anywhere. The number one show now, it was in the U.S. Now, this is a number one show. We just got the ratings in. The number one show globally, the Jay Thomas Show. It's coming up next. Don't go anywhere.